Welcome to this exciting episode of Talking Pork, the podcast created for the food service industry. I'm your host, Vanessa Barnes, Business Development Manager, Food Service Australian Pork. Today, our guest is Peter Hayden, the General Manager of Marketing for Australian Pork. Good morning, Pete.
Morning, Vanessa.
So today we're talking about quite a serious matter. It's concerning many, which is the African swine fever. So let's just get straight into it, Pete. What is the difference between African swine fever and African swine flu?
African swine flu is no longer really an issue. In Australia, it hit us around 2009 and it's called H1N1 at the time. And that's basically a bronchial virus. So it basically gives you flu and it's difficult to breathe. African swine fever is a very different type of virus. And it basically, it causes hemorrhaging.
And is the African swine fever, or ASF, as we've come to know it, is it dangerous for humans?
No, it's not. It's a pig-only disease. Humans can't contract ASF.
And whereabouts did it originate from? What's the history behind the virus?
Well, so it originated in Africa.
Oh.
Given that it's called African swine fever, hugely surprising. And probably in the early 1900s. And we think that it probably got transported to Georgia near Russia by boat in the last decade or so. And it seems to have gone north into Russia and then east across Russia and the Siberian plains and then south into China and then into Southeast Asia. So it's travelled quite a long way.
It has. And how does it travel? How does it spread so easily?
Well, so the virus itself is actually pretty hardy. So it's quite hard to kill. So it can last for long periods of time dormant. And we think it's probably mainly travelled by transport. So it's human transport that has actually made it travel.
And how do we treat the African swine fever?
Well, there isn't really a treatment. That's one of the things that's very concerning about this. There are two countries, I think both in 1985, so Belgium and Spain, both eradicated African swine fever, but they eradicated it from domestic herds, so herds that are raised for meat.
And how is this affecting the global market?
Well, so there are two major effects. The first one is that China produces about half of all of the pork in the world.
And what do we produce?
So, well, they produce 55 million tonnes and we produce 400,000 tonnes. So if we shipped every kilo of pig meat that we produced to China and they consumed at their average rate, it would last 66 hours.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
So the scale's just difficult to imagine. The estimates for Chinese production is they will lose somewhere between 20 and 40% of their production, which is somewhere between 10 and 25 million tonnes. But it's not just China. There's another 10 million tonnes of production in Southeast Asia, with most of those countries either having it or are very likely to get it. So, for example, Thailand has a very big pig production system, and they haven't declared yet, but there has been a case of 110 pigs found with African swine fever in Laos, right on the border with Thailand.
Mm. Now,
diseases don't respect
boundaries. Yes.
So the probability that Thailand's going to get it is really very high.
Mm. So currently, how many countries are we talking are infected with this virus?
So from what we know, there's probably around 19 or 20, and there's a little group in Eastern Europe and there's a group in Southeast Asia. Those are the two big areas, but obviously Southeast Asia, from a production and number of people perspective,
yeah,
is the biggest impact by quite a long way. And if you think about global trade, it looks like globally pork, there's about 8 million tons of pork that's traded globally in a normal year. And we're going to be somewhere between 10 and 25 million tonnes, not enough. So the two things that are going to affect, are going to have an impact is, number one, there's not enough protein, so the prices for all proteins are going to go up. And the second thing is that whilst China and other countries learn how to deal with African swine fever, because they don't know what the answer is yet, there'll be an undersupply of pork, and as a consequence, people will switch to chicken or beef or lamb or goat or whatever, because there just won't be enough pork.
And that'll create the shortage globally across all proteins.
So, and we've seen that already. So, I mean, if you look at sheep prices are really high because of the drought, and farmers had to choose to not run as many sheep. But it's also very, the lamb price is also very high because of global demand, and that's in part down to ASF, as is global beef demand. It's also very strong. So all meats are going to become more expensive.
So when we talk about ASF and we look at Australia, mm-hmm. what's stopping it from hitting our shores?
Well, there are three core things that Australia has that everybody else doesn't. The first one is we have really good border security. And so the people that actually do border security are very well trained here. So, for example, the authorities have managed to find, in the first 6 months after ASF was discovered in China, have managed to confiscate 20,000 different items of people importing pork. Mm-hmm. And there were some cases of those imports having ASF in them. As it turned out, that ASF was dormant, not live. But nevertheless, if we talk to our New Zealand colleagues, they have exactly the same purity and biosecurity positioning in the world, but they're not doing what our guys are doing. So that's number one. Number two is our whole supply chains, right from farmers all the way through to the retailer's shelf or the restaurant's table, we're very good at food safety and biosecurity. So if you want to go to a pig farm, by and large in Australia, if it's a commercial pig farm, you'll have to shower in and shower out. And if you're not prepared to do that, you can't go on.
Yeah.
And then the third thing is just nature. We have hundreds of kilometres of sea between us and everybody else. And it's really hard for viruses to get across sea unless they come in on boats. And we're quite diligent at checking each shipment, whereas the United States, for example, are less diligent.
Yeah. So one of the questions that I keep coming against is that with the tightening of the pork market in Australia at the moment, it's largely due to what we're exporting into China. Can you clear that up for us?
Well, that's just not true. The reality is we don't export anything to China at all, except for runners for sausages. And the reason for that is we don't have an agreed protocol. So we don't have a mechanism by which the Chinese will allow us to export. The second thing that people often get confused about is, whilst our Australian pork prices have gone up in the last year, they've gone up from a very, very low place to a place which tends to be around close to the average. And that's not driven out of ASF. That's driven out of, we actually made a little bit too much for a couple of years in 2017-18.
Too much pork.
Too much pork. And as a consequence, prices were low. Now we're making slightly less and prices have gone up. It's simple supply and demand. There is a possibility that ASF will affect Australian trade in the future. The reason it's not at the moment is that Australian prices are about $3.50 a kilo for a carcass, and the global price is about $2.80. So the global price isn't as high as our price now, but as the global market shortens and we get into a short supply of pork globally, it's possible that the global price will get to our price, and at that point then it will start having an impact. But there's clearly things that people can do right now. So a lot of the big retailers, a lot of the big chains of QSR and the like are actually just locking in contracts so that they know that regardless of what happens to supply, they know that they're going to be able to supply their customers the pork they want.
Exactly. So taking out of that, if I had a restaurant or if I had a chain of restaurants and I needed to protect my cost of goods, I would be locking in a contract price and also forecasting volume use with my supplier.
Absolutely. So the best way to deal with a shortage is just treat it like it's an insurance policy. So I certainly insure my house because I can't afford to rebuild it if it gets knocked down by some catastrophe. And if I was running a business, I'd be saying, actually, if there's a protein or all proteins even that are going to be in short supply, I need to be very clear that I have a great relationship with a supplier and they have a great relationship with their farmer to make sure that I get my quark regardless of what goes on with everybody else.
That's exactly right. Well, just to... We'll keep updating this story probably every 6 weeks and look at what's happening in the global space with the advances of the virus. And if people wanted to find out more information regarding the ASF, how do they find that information?
So I think probably the best thing in this particular instance is to contact either you or me and say, look, this is the question we've got. It is an evolving situation. It's a situation the world's not really been in before. We've never had this kind of meat shortage before. So nobody really knows exactly how it's going to pan out. But I think contact us at Australian Pork and we'll be more than happy to share what we know.
Well, Pete, thank you so much for your time today. Hopefully this has cleared up a lot of confusion within the industry. And I look forward to our next chat and hopefully things are looking a little bit brighter. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
For more information, please email us at inspired@australianpork.com.au or sign up to receive our informative newsletters at www.inspiredbyaustralianpork.com.au. Until next time, I'm Vanessa Barnes, and don't forget, get more pork on your menu.